Fratelli e sorelle, buonasera.
Brothers and sisters, good evening.
Voi sapete che il dovere del conclave era di dare un vescovo a Roma.
You know that the duty of the conclave was to give a bishop to Rome.
Fratelli cardinali sono andati a prenderlo quasi alla fine del mondo.
My fellow cardinals went and found one all the way at the end of the world, but here we are.
Vi ringrazio l'accoglienza.
Thank you for your warm acceptance. The community of Rome to its bishop, thank you. First of all, I'd like to offer a prayer for our eminent bishop, Benedict
XVI.
Let us all pray together for him. May the Lord bless him, and may the Madonna look after him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, and may it be always, throughout all the centuries. Amen. And let's begin now this voyage, bishop and people, people and bishop, the Church of Rome, which is the one that precedes all the others, a passage with brotherhood, love, and mutual trust. Let's pray always for each other. Let's pray for the whole world. May there be a great brotherhood. I wish that this voyage with the Church that we begin today, he will become my cardinal vicar, may be successful in spreading the gospel in this wonderful city. And now, I would like to give a blessing, but first, do me a favor. Before the bishop blesses the people, I would like you to pray the Lord for the bishop who is about to bless his people.
Facciamo in silenzio questa preghiera di voi su di me.
Let us pray silently in this prayer for me.
Santo Padre Francesco,
the Holy Father Francis, to all the faithful present, and to all those who receive his blessing by way of radio, TV, and all the new technologies,
concede l'indulgenza plenaria
offers
la forma stabilita dalla Chiesa.
The plenary indulgence of the Church.
Dio onnipotente,
we pray to Almighty God.
Il Papa, a guida della Chiesa,
may he long help the Pope in guiding the Church
alla Chiesa in tutto
and
il
give
mondo.
Peace and unity to the Church throughout the world.
Adesso vi darò la benedizione a voi.
Now this is a blessing of you all and the whole world, to all men and women of good faith.
Santi Apostolis Petrus et Paulus,
Holy Apostle Peter
and
Paul, in whose authority and power we confide, may they intercede with us before God. Amen.
Precibus et meritis Beate Maria Semper Virginis,
with the prayers and merits of the Eternal Virgin,
Beati Ioannis Baptiste,
Blessed John the Baptist,
et Sanctorum Apostolorum Petri et Pauli et Omnium Sanctorum,
and the blessed saints Peter and Paul and all the saints,
Miserator Vesti Omnipotens Deus, et dimissi omnibus peccatibus,
may he pity us, and with all our sins forgiven,
Jesus Christus ad vitam aeterna,
may Jesus Christ lead us to eternal life, indulgence, forgiveness, and the remission of all sins, the ever-penitent heart, and the Holy Spirit. May pitying God give all his perseverance to you and blessing.
Omnipotentis, Pateris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti,
in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy
Spirit,
descenda
super vos et maniat semper.
May it descend upon us and remain always.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And as you've been hearing, you've been listening to the very first address of Pope Francis I, just selected a short while ago by the College of Cardinals. He was addressing tens of thousands of Catholic faithful from St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Pope Francis is Jorge Bergoglio from Argentina, where he served as the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. He's the first pope from Latin America. And here's a little more information about Pope Francis. This comes from the National Catholic Reporter. He is a Jesuit. He was a trained chemist before deciding to become a priest. He's seen as an accomplished intellectual, having studied theology in Germany. He had a leading role during the Argentinian economic crisis in 2002 and has put together a reputation as a voice of conscience in that country. Joining us now to talk about the new pope, Thomas Groom, frequent guest here on Radio Boston, professor of theology and religious education at Boston College. And Thomas Groom, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Also with us is Matthew Schmaltz. He's an associate professor of religious studies at the College of the Holy Cross. Matthew Schmaltz, welcome back to Radio Boston to you as well.
I'm grateful to be here.
So, gentlemen, let me start with you, Thomas Groom. First of all, your reaction to this selection of Jorge Bergoglio as the Pope.
Well, all the rumors had it that he was the runner-up in the previous election of 2005 when Pope Benedict was elected. So I suppose he went in with a solid backing among the cardinals. It comes, of course, as a surprise, or certainly out of the pattern, that he's from Argentina, the first person from Argentina, the first person from outside of Europe in over 1,000 years. He's a Jesuit, the first Jesuit. As I understand it, I have to check my facts, and we're all just reeling from the news. So and perhaps Matthew knows better than I, since he teaches at Holy Cross, although I should know being at Boston College. I think he's the first Jesuit ever in the history of the Church. So there's two surprises, Argentinian and a Jesuit. His reputation, at least as I can discern it, was that he's a fairly conservative and traditionalist person, was no friend to liberation theology and so on over the years. And so I think that'll come somewhat as a sobering note to some people. However, lots of things happen to a person when they're made the universal pontiff, and we'll be slow, of course, to rush to judgment. But as a loyal Catholic, I obviously give him my prayers and my support and my acceptance.
Matthew Schmaltz, your response, and pick up on what Thomas Groom was talking about, first pope from Latin America and a Jesuit.
Well, yes, but I think most of the cardinals said that they wanted a person who embodied holiness, and so they chose someone who has the virtues of simplicity and humility. He's chosen the name Francis. He rode public transportation to his office. But I was very, very moved by his blessing, and especially...
Tell me what moved you.
Well, first, that he led the entire audience in St. Peter's Square in the Our Father and the Hail Mary, and then asked for a silent prayer from them for his papal ministry. And that is something that indicates that this is a person who does have a common touch. It's a very traditionalist Catholic spirituality, but there is a simplicity and humility in his manner of address that I think is very, very important and distinctive from both John Paul II and Benedict XVI.
Mm. Listeners, we're talking about the new Pope, Pope Francis I. You can chime in with questions, with comments if you'd like. With us is Thomas Groom from Boston College and Matthew Schmaltz from College of the Holy Cross. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK if you want to make a comment or have questions about Pope Francis I, who was just elected by the College of Cardinals an hour or so ago. The significance, Thomas Groom, of a first pope from Latin America, I mean, this, as you said, represents a huge shift in the sort of center of gravity of the Catholic Church.
Yes. Yes. Well, about 40% of the Catholics of the world are in the Southern are in South America. So that they would have a representative now as Pope of the Universal Church is terribly appropriate and obviously high time. He'd certainly be a wonderful Pope for the South American Church, and hopefully can bring a revival will address some of the challenges that the Church there is facing, especially from more evangelical traditions and so on that have making great headway throughout South America. So I think he'll certainly have bring blessings to South America and hopefully to the Universal Church as well. Mm. You know, coming in with his more conservative perspectives or more traditional pieties, shall we say, will have a certain richness to it. And it will be a certain gift to the whole church.
Mm. Matthew Schmaltz, you know, when we talk about becoming pope, it involves obviously a particular human dimension as well. This is a huge and challenging job, a sprawling communion of Catholics all across the globe. What kind of a person, does Pope Francis have to be to sort of pull all this together?
Well, he has to be a multitasker. He has to be an administrator. He has to be a theologian. And he also has to have a common touch. And that's a tough job description for anyone. And so the demands of the office are greater than any of us could possibly imagine. But I will say this. He did seem ready. When I saw him on the balcony of St. Peter's, it did seem as though he had reflected very deeply about what this would mean to him and to the church. So he's clearly going into the papacy with open eyes to the extent to which that's possible for anyone.
Let me talk about a couple of the big challenges facing the Catholic Church, and let's start with the legacy of the sex abuse scandal. American Catholics say that's the biggest challenge facing the Catholic Church. That's according to a recent survey from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. According to American Catholics, no other issue matters more. It's certainly a topic that is talked about a lot by Catholics in Boston. What is the significance, first of all, of a pope whose focus is on Latin America in terms of dealing with the fallout of that crisis? Thomas Groom.
Well, we don't know yet. I mean, we have to hope for the best. It is true that the clergy sex abuse is a dreadful crisis for the church. I mean, this Catholic Church is the largest educator in the world. Mm. Its school system throughout, not just throughout North America, but throughout Europe, Africa, Asia, South America, etc. I mean, it's a huge educator. There's no government that has kind of a comparison. Likewise, in social services, Catholic Charities of Boston alone has over 1,000 employees. And you put all the social spiritual services of the Catholic Church throughout the world together, you've got this phenomenally large social service network. That this is a terribly important appointment, not just for the Catholics, but for the life of the world, for the common good of societies very all over the place. So that the good that this church does in the world by way of education, social services, and so on, it's tragic, really, to see that the first association with it in the common consciousness, at least in North America, is with clergy sex abuse. This rich faith tradition with a wonderfully rich spirituality and doing all kinds of good in the world, the primary association with it, at least as I said in our culture now, is clergy sex abuse. This is a crisis. So hopefully he will step up and give some real leadership in putting this behind us and in putting in place a whole different modus operandi on this particular issue.
And Matthew Schmaltz, I know he's been Pope only for a few minutes, really, but any sense of how he will step up and confront that crisis?
It's unclear to me, because he's coming from a part of the world where there are other issues that are considered to be more pressing and more important. So perhaps what he might do initially is to make changes in the Vatican bureaucracy, since there's a lot of dissatisfaction with how the Curia has managed the Church over the last decade. And maybe through that, we'll be able to see at least a little more transparency in governance in the Church. At least that would be my hope.
Matthew Schmaltz and Thomas Groom, please stand by. We want to continue talking to you. We've got a couple of other reporters that we want to bring into this conversation right now.
Right, including given that this is the first Pope from Latin America, we want to talk about the significance of that regional choice. So we want to bring in Maria Hinojosa. She's the anchor and executive producer of the long-running weekly NPR show Latino USA. She's also the anchor of the Emmy Award-winning talk show Maria Hinojosa, One-on-One. Maria, thanks for making time with us. And could you let us know what you consider the significance of this new Pope being from Latin America? What statement does that make?
You know, I have to say that I was thinking more than likely that it was going to be the African Pope, the first African Pope. So to me, this is somewhat surprising, and I can't help but think about my grandmother, who is one of those staunch Catholic, went to church two or three times a week. This is in Mexico, and who just loved the Pope. This was, of course, in the 1970s, Pope John Paul. I cannot imagine the joy that she would be having right now if she knew that there was a Pope who was Latin American, who spoke Spanish, who understood, in essence, something about her own history. So I haven't seen any live pictures of what's happening near the Basilica of Guadalupe in Mexico City. But I imagine that there is a tremendous amount of joy. This is historic. It is the first time that a Latin American Pope has been named. And just to remember, about half of the world's Catholics are Latin American, 480 million Latin American Catholics. So if you think about, how Latinos, now not Latin Americans, I'm talking about Latinos in the United States, are perceiving their power, post, the 2012 elections, think about that amplifying on a worldwide level, where Latin Americans are saying, maybe it is our time, maybe it is our moment. We are being seen, we are being heard, and we do represent, the numbers kind of represent our power. So it's a very interesting moment, but of course, way too soon to tell. And there are complicated things about the Pope that are going to come up. Nothing is going to be clean and simple, but certainly a fascinating historical moment for Latin American Catholics.
Maria, you mentioned complicated things, and I noticed you've been tweeting in the last few minutes, and I had been looking at the same Wikipedia citation you had talking about this new Pope's stance on homosexuality. He has a firm church teaching on homosexuality, although he teaches the importance of respecting individuals who are gay. He has strongly opposed legislation introduced in 2010 by the Argentine government to allow same-sex marriage. And as you've tweeted, this new pope has insisted that adoption by gay parents is considered, in his view, discrimination against the child. Your thoughts on that aspect of the sort of doctrine he will bring to his new job?
Well, the fact that he has been so out, public on this issue, of course, it raises interest for gay Catholics, of which there are many. And I think that the way he states it, now Pope Francis, about adoption, I think that there could be some concern here. Remember that just in terms of Latino Catholics in the United States. This is one of the growth populations here. And Latino Catholics are like Catholics everywhere. They're gay, they're straight. You know, there's a church in downtown Manhattan on 16th Street where it is a fully Catholic church, and yet when they give the, you know, peace be unto you, men are kissing each other on the lips. So this is part of the new Catholicism that that is part of what this Pope will be having to oversee. Now, I think one of the more interesting elements is what was this Pope's, what was he doing in Argentina during the Dirty War? What did he oversee? This was a very difficult, divisive time in Latin America, in Argentina. And I think that some of this is going to come out. On that Wikipedia site, you know, there is a human rights lawyer filed a complaint against Bergoglio, accusing him of conspiring with the junta in 1976 to kidnap two Jesuit priests. So these are the kinds of things that certainly right now in Argentina, you can be sure that they are talking about this. And that's what I'm saying when in terms of the complicated nature of this vote. On the other hand, he is a Jesuit, and he has said that he cares about the poor. And I do think that this is really interesting, the fact that he has taken this, you know, this code of humility to the extreme, where he lives in this small apartment in Buenos Aires instead of living in a residency. He, you know, he got rid of his chauffeur. These are the kinds of things that I think could be very attractive to a Latin American Catholic population, where they see somebody who embodies this notion of humility. This term, humildad, humility, amongst Latin Americans, very important, certainly among those who follow the Church. So this could be something that that carries a lot of favor for him.
That's Maria Hinojosa. She's the anchor and executive producer of the long-running weekly NPR show Latino USA. Maria, thank you.
Thank you.
And now we want to go to a reporter in Boston.
Let's go back to Thomas Groom, first of all, and Matthew Schmaltz. Thomas Groom, are you with us?
Sorry.
Yeah, professor of theology and religious education at Boston College. We just heard from Maria Hinojosa there talking about Pope Francis I. I wanted to ask you the significance of the name that he chose.
Well, I think it's very positive that he chose Francis, especially as a Jesuit. You know, I would expect him to choose Ignatius. But he's obviously trying to say something in choosing Francis, especially Francis I. He's somewhat famous for his simplicity of lifestyle, that, you know, he's ridden public transportation in Buenos Aires. He doesn't live in the bishop's palace. He lives in a humble little apartment. He cooks for himself. And a very simple lifestyle. So that's certainly a welcome aspect. And as I said, taking the name Francis, I mean, after Jesus of Nazareth, there's probably no Christian that's more admired than Francis of Assisi. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying something by taking the name of Francis, that he's committed to a simplicity of life. So maybe he'll be a little closer to the carpenter of Nazareth than to a Roman emperor.
What do you think, Matthew Schmaltz?
I would agree with that. And certainly I think the cardinals made a very conscious decision to choose a person who has a very different personality than Benedict XVI. And the common touch that Pope Francis clearly has does stand in contrast to the very high-minded intellectual vision of the former pope.
Mm. Let me ask you about a couple of other challenges that the church faces. We talked about the legacy of the sex abuse scandal. The church is also dealing with lower church attendance in parts of the world, an exit of the young from the church, a shortage of priests. Thomas Groom, are these, would you put those at the top of toward the top of the list of challenges that this new pope is going to have to take on?
Well, there are definitely issues that he should take on. I mean, we'll have to wait and see if he embraces that kind of leadership. The shortage of priests, and also the conversation that's at least very prevalent among American Catholics, and a real openness to, we'd say, the ordination of married men to the priesthood. Now, coming out of South America and Argentina, he'll be keenly aware of the priest shortage, because there's probably no large Catholic community that is as short of priests as the South American church. And I've spent a little time in South America on occasion myself. I remember a priest there telling me one time that he was pastor to 22 different parishes. In other words, these were missions that he would visit like once every 2 months and say Mass and move on to the next one. So there's a dire shortage of priests in South America. And hopefully he'll bring some imagination to trying to respond to that a crisis, really, especially for the sacramental life of the Catholic communities.
And Matthew Schmaltz, another challenge facing the new pope, difficulties governing the Vatican itself. We've read reports of sort of power struggles over the management of the Vatican. Is this a challenge that would be particularly difficult for someone coming from the other side of the Atlantic?
I do think it'll be a challenge, because you need to know the ins and outs of the Vatican bureaucracy to know where the log jams are, where the centers of power are. And so he's going to have to learn very, very quickly how things work administratively. And certainly many cardinals who are very jealous of their bureaucratic prerogatives might well resist him.
Matthew Schmaltz and Thomas Groom, please stand by. We're going to go to another reporter right now.
Actually, we have a priest from Lawrence, Massachusetts. This is Father Paul O'Brien. He's pastor of St. Patrick's Parish, which serves a very large Latin American congregation. And Father, I'm very interested in your thoughts about this pick.
I think it's great to be surprised. I'm pretty sick of conventional wisdom, as I think the average person is, and conventional opinions. And so I think it's great to see that the cardinals are not as predictable and maybe as dumb as often portrayed in the last couple of weeks. And so I think to see in our community, which is contrary to what was just stated, which is not experiencing any sort of exodus, but in fact is seeing constant growth, is young and is vibrant in every way, including pursuing traditional Catholic beliefs and trying to discover what they are and how they connect to real life. I think that seeing the unity that this whole exercise has affirmed for us, that these cardinals from all over the world actually came together, did something together, came out with a result, came out together and behind this result, that is a great value in our community, that the church is led by Christ and we're all trying to work with him, and this experience affirms that. I don't find that people in my community are rooting for a Latino number one for Pope, yet it is very sweet to have a Latino elected as the first Pope, Latino Pope.
Because this Pope is so new, I assume that you've been able to get little feedback so far from your congregation.
Well, I can tell you that my predictions have been 100% correct, because my predictions have been I have not a clue who the next Pope will be.
So this did very much surprise you, as you said.
Absolutely. Here's a guy who is very well known in other ways, who has an extended track record, and I think it's terrific. And on the Latino part of it, again, it is a great thing that the church all over the world, Latinos all over the world, are so alive in their faith. And to repeat, the Hispanic church is not just growing in Latin America. I mean, it's declining in certain parts of Latin America, but it's growing in the United States. It's growing in the Latino South American population in Europe. So this is a really, really vibrant part of the church, and it's great to have somebody from that part of the church elected as the Supreme Pontiff.
Father Paul O'Brien is pastor of St. Patrick's Parish in Lawrence, Massachusetts, which serves a large Latino population. Father, thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome.
And we just have a couple of minutes left, so I want to wrap up with Thomas Groom, professor of theology and religious education at Boston College, and Matthew Schmaltz from College of the Holy Cross. Thomas Groom, I'm struck by something watching the enormous crowds waiting in anticipation for this election, essentially, and here we are spending a good solid hour on it. I mean, what does that tell you, I guess, about the sort of, the health of the process by which the church selects its leaders?
Well, it makes it clear that it's a tremendously important office in the world. I mean, President of the United States and Pope of the Catholic Church are probably the two most influential offices in the world. There's nothing comparable in another religious tradition. You know, there's revered people, the Dalai Lama, and you know, there's Ayatollahs and other traditions and what have you. But the Pope is a tremendously significant function in the world, and it is not just for Catholics, but for the common good of the world by way of the Church's educational arm, its social services, and so on. It's an enormous presence throughout the world. So who gets elected Pope is an important question. So it doesn't surprise me that the world has focused on it. Now there's old ritual and so on that's entertaining and endearing, probably, especially in this postmodern age, you know, that these old traditions that go back over 1,000 years by way of electing a pope. But it's also a very significant appointment.
Matthew Schmaltz, same question to you. Just sort of the health of the process, or what the process says about the vitality of the church.
Well, it certainly shows that the cardinals were ready. This election was much shorter than I had expected. But I think also, too, we should think about how the office might change the man. And as much as we might predict right now what Pope Francis will do on the basis of his prior experience, what he did in Argentina and so forth, it is quite possible that he will surprise us because the papacy does fundamentally change a person. We saw that certainly with John the 23rd. So I'm hopeful, and I think many people in the world are hopeful as well.
Thomas Groom, I'd like you to sort of end with you and sort of pick up on that thought that Matthew Schmaltz put. I mean, ways that the papacy actually changes people as a source of hope. What do you think of that?
It changed Benedict. I mean, the Rottweiler image that Benedict had as Cardinal Ratzinger did not prevail throughout his papacy. He did become a pope of the Universal Church rather than just a doctrinal watchdog. It certainly changed Pope John the 23rd. Certainly the shift from being the Archbishop of Buenos Aires to being the Universal Pontiff has to give him responsibilities and perspectives that he wouldn't have had otherwise. So we'll keep hope alive that this is the 266th Pope. There'll be lots more Popes after him. But for now, we have to welcome our new Pope and commit our loyalty to him.
All right. Keep hope alive. That's a good note to end on. Thomas Groom, Professor of Theology and Religious Education at Boston College, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And thank Matthew Schmaltz, Associate Professor of Religious Studies at College of the Holy Cross, thank you as well, and have a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to special coverage of the election of Pope Francis I. Stay tuned for all the latest news from Rome on All Things Considered. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.